Gospel. I want to speak about a strange subject here this afternoon because I'm going to talk about nothing. Some may be saying, well, that's not the first time he has talked about nothing. But that's really my subject here this afternoon. I want you to come to Revelation chapter 3. I'm just going to take a few verses with the word nothing in them and see how the Lord will lead here this afternoon. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 17. Just reading the one verse to begin with, and I say, just picking out where we find the word nothing and seeing what the Lord would have to say to you here this afternoon. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, and here is the Lord Jesus Christ has dictated a correspondence to this church in Laodicea. The message has been delivered to the elder, and this is part of the letter to one of the churches in Asia. Revelation 3 and verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. We do trust that God will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts here this afternoon. I want to talk about nothing. As I've said already, just taking the little word nothing, you'll have noticed it in a reading in verse 17, where this is a church and they're really looking the Lord straight in the face and they're saying, I have need of nothing. I have described this as a denial of the problem. Before anything can be fixed, before anything can be sorted, before anything can even be repaired, there must be an acknowledgement that something is broken, something is not right, something needs to change. When it comes to you this afternoon, there has to be that acknowledgement that there's something not right between you and God. If it's ever to be fixed, if it's ever to be sorted, you cannot say, I have need of nothing. And really, this is what I was thinking about to begin with, the denial of the problem. Here's what the Lord said about these people who were saying, we don't need anything. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched. What a word for God to use. It's a word that Paul used of himself. He said in Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am. It was used of an emergency case. Someone in a hospital ward and they're under a severe illness and they're described as being wretched. Do you see yourself as wretched this afternoon in the sight of a holy God? Because these people didn't see it that way, but that's how God saw it. God says you're wretched, and then he says you're miserable. And the word means pitiful. They were a pitiful sight. They were depending on their materialism. We are rich and increased with goods. And they said we've got everything we could possibly need in the world. This word miserable was used of someone in a workhouse, someone in a prison. And the Lord says you think that you've got everything you need, and really you've got nothing. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor. The word poor here actually means penniless. Spiritually, they were bankrupt. They may have been materially wealthy, they may have had a healthy bank account, but when God looked upon them, God says, spiritually, you're bankrupt. And I wonder, are you sitting here this afternoon as you listen to what God has to say? Are you saying to the Lord, well, I have need of nothing. I know lots of people and I know the lifestyle they live. I know the sins that they commit. I know their dishonesty. I know how they behave. And certainly they need something, but I don't need anything. And you've never been honest with God. You've never come to that position where all of us who are saved had to come to when we recognize that we're sinners. We're wretched and miserable and poor. And he goes on to say, you're blind. You have need of eye salve. You can't even see your own need. We've often quoted from this pulpit, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, in whom the God of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The devil doesn't want you to see. He wants to blind you. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine onto them. The devil doesn't want you to see your need. He's quite happy for you to look God in the face and to look the Lord Jesus Christ straight between the eyes and say, I have need of nothing. Is this where we find you this afternoon? You're saying to the Lord, I don't need anything. He went on to say, not only are you poor, not only are you blind, but you're naked. In that area, they were known for their expensive garments. It was an area where they'd make these expensive garments, and many people would proudly wear these very expensive garments. The Lord says you may, on the outside, be dressed in the best and the fanciest clothes, but you're naked in the sight of a holy God. You have never been clothed in His righteousness. You've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb. What a situation to be in. Wretched. An emergency case. Miserable. With no future. Poor. Not rich towards God. Blind. Cannot see the condition. Naked. Sinners in the sight of a holy God. And here's the saddest thing of all. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. This is a denial of the problem. And really, we can't get anywhere with you until there's honesty, until there's humility, until there's an acknowledgement that I need Christ. I don't need a church. I don't need religion. I need Christ. Because neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There are some in Scripture who thought they needed nothing. In John 8 verse 39, we read about the Jews. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. All they claimed was their nationality. They could talk about their denomination. And that's all they had. If we were to bring it into the 21st century, bring it into our own province, there'll be those who will say, well, I'm a Roman Catholic, I'm a good Protestant, I'm a good Jew, a good Hindu, a Muslim, whatever you tend to use. This is all you have. You have absolutely nothing. Just like these Jews, this is all we have. We don't need anything. We belong to the right denomination. You know, there were the Pharisees. In Luke 18, this Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He was saying to God, I don't need anything. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm giving. Look how I'm living. This is all that I need. I don't need anything else. And again, there's a denial of the problem. Do you remember what Solomon said in Proverbs 16:25? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And we meet a lot of people who say, I have my own way. You have your way, and you can believe that, and I'm happy for you to believe it, but I've got my own way. I've worked it out in my mind, and this is my way, but it's not God's way. Jesus said, I am the way, the only way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you saying, like the Jews, we have Abraham our father, we've got our denomination, I don't need anything else? Are you saying, like the Pharisee that went up to pray, I have all my works, I don't need anything else? Are you saying, like the writer in the Proverbs, I've got my own way, I don't need anything else? Maybe you're saying, well, the whole thing is nonsense. The psalmist said in Psalm 14, the fool in his heart has said there is no God. Maybe that's you this afternoon. Well, there's no God, there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no day of judgment. I don't need anything because I don't believe any of it. I don't accept any of it. And you're saying, I don't need anything this afternoon. And it's simply just a denial of the problem. And we need to get past that. If you are going to be saved, if you're going to get the problem sorted out, if you're going to get everything right, we have to get past that denial of the problem. Let me take you to another nothing. It's found in Luke 12 verse 2. And I've described this as a daunting prospect because here's the situation with you this afternoon. Luke 12, verse 2. For there is nothing, catch the word nothing again. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. There's a day of judgment coming when everything is going to be revealed and absolutely nothing hidden. I'm sure, like myself, if all of our sins was to be written up on the top of this vehicle here or somehow displayed publicly, you and I would shrink away in shame. We would feel awful about it. And yet there is that day coming. If you live without Christ and die without Christ, every sin ever committed will be open and revealed, and absolutely nothing shall be covered. We know, even when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on planet Earth in Matthew 9 verse 4, he met a man who was sick of the palsy, and he healed this man. And of course there were those who didn't like this, and they complained about the Lord Jesus. This is what we read. Jesus, knowing their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. You and I can know people by what they say through their mouth. We can know by what they do and the actions. But I don't think any of us would claim to be able to know someone's thoughts. Christ knew the thoughts of this man. Didn't just happen once. You know, it proves that Jesus Christ is God, is the all-knowing one. In Matthew 12, verse 25, after he'd healed someone who was demon-possessed, who had been blind and deaf, the Pharisees said, "This fellow doth cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." And the Lord said, we read this, "But Jesus knew their thoughts." Again, he could read their very thoughts. The Lord knows exactly what you're thinking this afternoon. We sin in thought, we sin in word, and we sin in deed. I may be able to see the words and the deeds sometimes, but when it comes to the thoughts, only God can really read the thoughts. I'm showing you what our Savior is capable of. You know, in the synagogue, there was a man come in with a withered hand. Again, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. And again, the Lord healed him. And again, there were those who criticized him because this healing took place on the Sabbath day. We read again, he knew their thoughts. Again, in Luke 9, verse 47, Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart. There's coming a day when absolutely nothing will be hidden. Everything is going to be open for everyone to see, and God will reveal your sin. What a daunting prospect. No one on that day will say, "I have need of nothing." No one on that day will dare to open their mouth and say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done so many wonderful works?" No one will say, but God, I was born into a certain denomination. Lord, I did many wonderful works. I've given so much, and all of these things which seem to be relevant today, when we stand before the Lord and everything is open before him and nothing is hidden, we will have nothing to say. Because we'll know in our own hearts we're condemned and we're guilty. Romans 2 verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Over in Revelation 20 we read about the great white throne. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat in it, from whose face the earth and heaven had fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Everything recorded will be revealed. And if you die without Christ, you will stand that day on the judgment day. And I'll tell you, you will have absolutely nothing to say. Do you see the denial of the problem? I have need of nothing. Do you see the daunting prospect? Nothing shall be hidden. Let me mention deity personified. Because there's another nothing that I went to mention. You see, Paul tells us in Romans 5 verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All of us are born in sin. We are by nature the children of wrath. Ephesians 2 verse 3, among whom we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. By practice we are wanderers. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're all sinners. We're all children of wrath. We're all wanderers. We're walking away from God. This is how we're born. We're enemies of God. Romans 8 verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. We're guilty. We're guilty sinners, Romans 3 verse 19. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty, guilty, guilty before God. We're unclean. But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We are corrupt, we are hopeless, we are ungodly. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We are alienated from God. Ephesians 4 verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. What a hopeless situation. You're maybe worse than you ever thought you were. You're a deep, dyed, dark sinner. That's how we were before we got to the cross. That's how we were before we were washed in the blood of the Lamb. How could we find a remedy? We needed someone to take our place. We needed someone to pay the price for sin. We needed somebody to take the judgment of God. This person had to be a man, but he had to be a sinless man. Here's another nothing for you this afternoon. Luke 3 verse 41. We come to the cross and we come to one of the thieves on the cross. And this thief realizes something that you need to realize. Luke 23 verse 41. And we indeed justly, speaking to his friend, for we received the due reward of our deeds. He realized he was a guilty sinner. But when he looked at Christ, here's what he said. This man hath done nothing. Get the word nothing. This man hath done nothing amiss. This man recognized his own sinful heart. We receive the due reward of our deeds, and he recognized Christ as the sinless one. He went a little bit further, because under conviction of sin, he cried out to the Lord, Lord, and he calls him Lord. He recognizes this man is sinless. He recognizes this is no ordinary man. This is God manifest in flesh. He is the only one that can deal with the sin problem. He is the only one that can take your place and give you the remedy for the problem you have. You can deny the problem, but you have a problem. That problem is sin. We needed a sinless, spotless sacrifice to take our place. He came in the person of Jesus Christ. The Hebrew writer tells us, Hebrews 7 verse 26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. We can reflect again on what it cost the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. We could go to Gethsemane. There as he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. What torment as he contemplated Calvary. We could see him being arrested in Gethsemane when one who claimed to be his friend stepped up and kissed him. And we often say Judas kissed the door of heaven and yet he went to hell. What it must have hurt the Lord to be betrayed by one who was close to him. Then they arrested the Lord and they took him. They took him to Annas first of all. Then they took him to Caiaphas. When he was there, he was slapped on the face. Then they took him to the Sanhedrin. And there they said, this man is guilty. We want them condemned. They had false witnesses. And the lies didn't even agree, but it didn't matter. Their mind was made up. They were going to reject the Lord. They wanted him to die. Then they sent him to Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate recognized there was no fault in this man.
But he was fearful of the crowd. He was fearful of the Roman Empire. He didn't want to fall out. He didn't want his promotion. He didn't want to do anything that would upset the people. And so even though he wanted to release Christ, he didn't. He sent them to Herod. Herod couldn't get a word out of Christ. Then he sent them back to Pilate. Pilate again wanted to get rid of him. He tried to get Barabbas, hoping that the crowd would surely reject Barabbas, who was a murderer and a thief and guilty of insurrection. But they didn't. They said, not this man. Imagine standing in front of the public and you're absolutely sinless. You have helped those who were blind. You have helped those who were deaf. You have healed the leper. You have done so many good works, as Acts reminds us. And here you're standing beside someone who was a lousy thief. And the crowd says, not this man, but Barabbas. What an insult to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Pilate let him be scourged, hoping again that when the people would see the bloody and battered body of Christ, after being torn asunder with that Roman lash, that lash of leather pieces with pieces of bone or metal that would rip the flesh asunder when it was lashed upon his back by that Roman centurion, that Roman soldier. But you know, the people still said, away with him, away with him, crucify him. And then they took him and nailed him to that old rugged cross, lifted up between heaven and earth. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior. You know, Christ died on that cross and paid redemption's price. He rose again. He was delivered for our offenses, but raised again for our justification. And because he lives, you can have eternal life this afternoon. Do you see deity personified? You see, you don't have to deny the problem. You can acknowledge your sinfulness here this afternoon. You don't have to face that daunting prospect where nothing will be hidden and everything will be uncovered. You can come to deity personified. You can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you can put your faith and trust in him. What are you going to do this afternoon? Do you remember the story in scripture about the woman who had the issue of blood? She had a problem. She tried all the physicians. She was nothing better. Catch the word nothing again. Have you tried church? Have you tried religion? Have you tried every remedy known to man and you're nothing better? The Lord Jesus told a parable about two men who were in debt. And he said they had nothing to pay. They were absolutely bankrupt. Do you realize you're spiritually bankrupt? The Lord Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. We're nothing without Christ. I'm going to finish with a very sad nothing. I've called it a despised pardon, a verse that no doubt many of you have heard before. Lamentations 1 verse 12. Listen for the word nothing again. And here's the Lord coming to you from the cross. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. I want you to see Christ on the cross. He says, is it nothing to you? I want you to see Christ rising up from the dead. Is it nothing for you? I want you to see Christ in glory. Is it nothing to you? I want you to see Christ and his coming again. Is it nothing to you? I want you to see his love, his grace, his mercy, his suffering, and ask the question again. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Does Christ mean absolutely nothing to you? Robert Murray McShane has written this testimony hymn. Make this your hymn this afternoon. I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. Though friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree, Jehovah said, Kenya was nothing to me. Is that where you are this afternoon? The Lord, our righteousness, why, it's nothing to me. Then McShane goes on, when free grace awoke me by light from on high, then legal fear shook me, I trembled to die. No refuge, no safety. In self could I see. Jehovah said, can you, my Savior must be. Have you got there yet? He began with Christ being nothing to him. Now he says he must be my Savior. Have you got there yet? McShane went on, my terrors all vanished before the sweet name. My guilty fears vanished. With boldness I came to drink at the fountain, life-giving and free. Jehovah said, can you, is all things to me. Have you got there yet? He was nothing to me. My Savior he must be, and now he's all things to me. I've been speaking about nothing this afternoon. Are you still saying, I have need of nothing? Have you no fear of that day when nothing shall be hidden? Do you not think of the one who has done nothing amiss, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saying, he's nothing to me? Is Calvary nothing to you? Let me leave you with the last nothing and I'm finished. Jeremiah 32 verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for thee. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how long you've been on the road of life and how many sins you have accumulated. There is nothing too hard for my God this afternoon. He can save your precious soul. He can break those chains that Jack and Ellie were thinking about. You'll be able to say, no condemnation, now I dread. But you're going to have to face reality. You cannot say, I have need of nothing. You need Christ. And you need Christ now. And the good news is that Christ is available, and he's ready, he's willing, and he's able to save. Will you reach out and take the Lord as he passes by another Sunday afternoon? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glorious gospel of Christ. Lord, we thank you for the one who has done nothing amiss, for the one who paid redemption's price in full, the sinless, spotless, crimeless, harmless Son of the living God. And Lord, our prayer is simple. We pray that those who have been saying, I don't need anything, will know that they need someone. And that someone is Christ, and Christ alone. And our prayer is that someone listening here this afternoon will take hold of Christ by faith and be saved eternally. And they'll have nothing to fear about tomorrow, because they'll be able to say, it is well with my soul. Lord, grant salvation blessing to visit this place. For it's in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen.